Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by Creighton head coach Greg McDermott. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I will get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And I also want to let you know that today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by our great sponsor, Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to do you do today. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, let's look now at some big picture thoughts from the weekend. Mine starts with Duke. Duke moved to 22-3 after a rout Saturday against Notre Dame. I know nothing is guaranteed in college basketball, but Duke does not play another team during the regular season that is currently ranked in the AP Top 25. That means to me that Duke looks like a safe bet to be a top seed in the East region, which would mean the first two rounds for the Blue Devils in Greensboro, and then if they advance there, the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games at Madison Square Garden, which has been affectionately known throughout the years as Cameron Indoor Stadium North. My second observation from the weekend pertains to Maryland. Maryland had an epic victory thanks to Anthony Cowan on Saturday night over Michigan State in East Lansing. Anthony Cowan looked like Juan Dixon down the stretch in this game. Right now, Maryland is a 2 seed in my bracket, and the Terps, out of all the teams, in my opinion, that aren't constructed as a number one seed right now based on the bracket projections that are out there, Maryland has the greatest chance to potentially get to the one line because they play in the Big Ten, and there's a positive and a negative about playing in the Big Ten. The negative is every game you play, you could lose because 12 of the 14 teams in the league are NCAA tournament contenders. The positive is every single game that you win is going against a team that is an NCAA tournament contender. That obviously helps your metrics. Maryland, to me, still has a legitimate chance, if it can win the Big Ten regular season title and then win the Big Ten conference tournament, to be a number one seed on Selection Sunday. And this guy is not getting a lot of credit for Maryland, but Dante Scott, the freshman who has stepped in next to Jalen Smith up front, has been a quality piece on the baseline for Maryland. He had 19-15 in 2 games last week. Another observation from the weekend, the grit of Georgetown continues to resonate through. Georgetown, without Mac McClung, without Omer Yurtseven, goes to Hinkle Fieldhouse, beats Butler. Georgetown obviously still needs to recruit at a high level, but if Georgetown could ever start putting together quality recruiting classes that feature some real talent and some real talent that wants to be at Georgetown and get old, Patrick Ewing has the coaching ability, the leadership, and the discipline to win big in Washington, D.C. Remember, this team's 15-10. They've had mass departures for kids who left the program, and they went to Hinkle Fieldhouse and won a conference game without Mac McClung, their best guard, and without Omer Yurtseven. An inspiring performance by Georgetown. One of Georgetown's best wins this season was against Creighton. The Jays are red hot after wins last week at Seton Hall and against DePaul at home. And the head coach of Creighton, Greg McDermott, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Creighton is one of the hottest teams in college basketball. The Jays coming off an unbelievable week last week. A road victory at Seton Hall, a home triumph over DePaul. And the head coach of Creighton is Greg McDermott. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And, Coach, I was out at one of your practices over the summer, and your team before a foreign tour was banged up. You've had some key players out. What do you think your reaction would have been in September or October if somebody told you after 26 games you'd be 20-6?
I'm not sure I'd have believed it, especially if you had told me later on that we were going to lose Davion Mintz and Jacob Epperson for the season. But you know, the guys that are playing right now, we have, you know, our roles are obviously they're set in stone, and guys understand what we need them to do for us to have a chance to be successful, and they're all playing their roles like a champ right now.
You know, Coach, I was at a Notre Dame practice years ago, and Mike Bray said, and I thought it was an unbelievable quote, that depth is overrated in games and it's underrated in practice. Is that kind of a microcosm of what it's been like for your team this year, considering the circumstances?
No question. I mean, there's only so many miles they can run in a week's time. So if you're in a situation where you have 9 or 10 guys that you can play on a game-to-game basis, and they're all nobody's playing more than 27 or 28 minutes a game, then you can practice a little bit more. In our situation where we've got guys, you know, I think our Balick and Zigarowski and Alexander, I think, are in the top five in minutes played in the Big East. And, you know, so you have to rest those guys during the week when there'd be some practice time. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of managing, you know, what they do on a weekly basis so that you still have some gas left in your tank at the end of the season.
We saw, obviously, some moments of brilliance from your team the last couple weeks, especially on the road. For you personally, when was the moment that you knew that your team had a chance to be pretty good?
You know, I think when we went to Villanova and won, you know, I think that certainly was a shot in the arm for us because it's a very difficult place to win and not many people win there. So to be able to go do it in the fashion that we did where we got the big lead, they got back in it, the crowd was into it, and then we were able to respond in the last 6 minutes on both ends of the floor. So I think that was that gave our guys a lot of confidence. And then, you know, certainly backing that up with a win at Seton Hall was great for us as well. But, you know, we've got a lot of balance right now, John, in league play. We've got five guys averaging in double figures. And when you have that kind of balance, when you can spread the floor like we can spread the floor, it makes our group pretty difficult to defend.
Creighton head coach Greg McDermott joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Jays 9-4 in the Big East, 20-6 overall. Next doublehead to Milwaukee on Tuesday to take on Marcus Howard and Marquette. You know, you have coached a lot of great offensive teams at Creighton. You've coached a lot of great offensive players, but collectively, this perimeter, this trio that you just touched on, feels like it's at a different level. Where does this perimeter rank among the best that you've coached?
Well, you know, we've had some good ones. Certainly when Maurice Watson was healthy with, you know, Marcus Foster and Kyrie Thomas, those three guys were incredibly talented. But, you know, these three certainly rank right up there. You know, Marcus Zagorowski's gotten better every single game. And, you know, Tyshawn Alexander is, in my opinion, is having a great, great year on both ends of the floor. And then you have a guy like Mitch Balick who, you know, you can't tell whether he's made 12 out of 13 threes like he did last year, 11 out of 12, whatever it was against DePaul, or if he goes scoreless against Seton Hall. His body language, the way he approaches the game, his commitment to winning and being a great teammate is the same regardless of how his individual game's going. So it's a unique mix. They all three get along really well. They've done an unbelievable job of leading this team, and you know, we're lucky to have them. It's hard for me to say being 6'8". You know, you win in the college game. You win in the college game with guards, and, you know, we've got three really good ones.
Well, and you mentioned Balick, and I think the most underrated thing about him is his ball security. He's played 941 minutes this season, and he has 25 turnovers. What allows him to really epitomize the term coach on the floor?
Yeah, he's got an incredible basketball IQ, and, you know, he's unselfish probably to a fault at times, but, you know, he's going to get his teammates touches. He's going to get them involved, and he's been able to do it in a very efficient way. As you mentioned, he doesn't take a lot of crazy chances, understands the value of, of that possession and is very careful with the decision that he makes. So, and the reality of it is because he's a threat to shoot it from 30 feet out, you really have to stretch out on him, and then he's able to create some things off the dribble and make some things happen going to the basket, which has been a nice addition to his game from a year ago.
Well, you mentioned obviously stretching some things out, and you and I have talked about this a little bit, especially after the Villanova game, on how you can do that from every spot on the floor. And I think that's the interesting thing about this team. Any player you have, 1 through 5, can dribble, pass, or shoot. How does it compare coaching a team like that versus a team with a traditional post player?
Well, it's totally different. And, you know, we still use Christian Bishop in that role at times and Kelvin Jones off the bench. But, you know, Christian has gotten so much better at operating at the top of the key for us with his ability to hand off, to fake the handoff, to throw the backdoor pass. You know, those are things that Martin Krampel was doing at a high level last year. And it took Christian a little time to settle into that role. But then we can also go small and play Denzel Mahoney there. And, you know, that lineup with Denzel and Damian Jefferson is very difficult to guard, because the reality of it is one of their big guys got to guard one of those two. And they're both very good at ripping and getting to the basket and making some things happen in the paint. And while Damian's three-point numbers aren't great this year, he has been a pretty consistent three-point shooter during his career for us here. So, you know, it's a difficult lineup to guard, and Denzel has the toughness and the strength where he can match up with a five inside.
Well, Mahoney was a problem, obviously, you know, since he really became eligible and has continued to be that type of double-figure scorer. The great teams that can go deep into the NCAA tournament always have a scorer like that in reserve. What changes when you know you're getting offense from that position?
Well, you know, and it took a while, John, when he became eligible, I think, on both sides, both for Denzel and for his teammates. You know, at Southeast Missouri, when Denzel touched the ball, he went and tried to make a play. And, you know, we were rolling at that time. We were 8-2, and now you add that to your lineup, and you know, he's taking 10 or 11, 12 shots, and those were 12 shots that were going to somebody else before. And I think Denzel has learned to understand that if you just trust our offense, the shots will come, the opportunities will be there, and there'll be better opportunities than maybe trying to create it on your own. But, you know, what he's been able to do for us, he can drive it. We can post him a little. He's been able to get to the free throw line. You know, he's been there, I guess I'm looking right now, 54 times in conference play, which is second on our team to Tyshawn Alexander. So, you know, getting to that free throw line and getting us in the bonus has been a huge positive with Denzel coming to that lineup.
Creighton head coach Greg McDermott joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Jays 20-6 overall will next play Marquette and Marcus Howard on the road this week. Now, you have been in a lot of different conferences as a head coach, and the Big East this year, as we saw with what Georgetown did over the weekend at Butler, has truly cannibalized itself in a lot of ways. Is this the best league that you've ever coached in?
You know, I think top to bottom, yes. I'm not sure we have, you know, I think we have some really, really good teams that have a chance to move forward in the NCAA tournament when that time comes. Do we have a team like a Villanova team when they won the national championship those 2 years? I'm not certain about that, but what I know is St. John's and DePaul, you know, two of the teams that are at the bottom of the league right now. If you go back to their non-conference play and look at the quality of their wins in non-conference, these are very, very talented basketball teams. And most leagues that I've been part of, you have a couple teams that if you just show up and at least you play average, you're probably still going to win. And that's not the case this year. You have to be ready to play every single night because the depth of this league has been incredible. And, you know, it's very hard to go on a sustained run in this league. And, you know, we've been fortunate. We won 7 out of the last 8. And that's hard to do in this conference because of the quality of coaching and the quality of players.
Well, your next task is not going to be an easy one because you go against the top scorer in the country. And, you know, I've kind of noticed this recently just because he's been doing it for so long. But you have somebody right now who's been such an elite scorer like Marcus Howard. Do you think people, because he started to score at such high levels early in his career, kind of took his, you know, accomplishments for granted?
He doesn't get near the attention he deserves. I mean, he has had an incredible career, and he's, you know, he's backed it up this year with another incredible season. And, you know, everybody knows what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. And, you know, he's not that big, and you would think that it should be easier to stop than it is, but he's got incredible pace and change of speed to his game. He gets that shot off so quick. He's very skilled at drawing fouls when he gets into the paint and avoiding the offensive fouls. So, you know, it's been fun to watch his career. I'm glad we're about done with him. He's really hard to guard. He hung 55 on us last year. And, you know, Tyshawn Alexander did a good job on him in the first game. And if we expect to go up there and have any kind of success tomorrow, we're going to have to be locked in on him as well.
Well, you obviously have had great success on the road. You have won games at Seton Hall and at Villanova. And with that Seton Hall win, you put yourself in position to compete for something you've never accomplished since Creighton joined the Big East, and that's win a Big East regular season championship. How much, if at all, have you brought that up with your team?
You know, we talked about it before the Seton Hall game that, you know, if we want to have any chance at this league title, we have to win at Seton Hall. You know, if we let them get ahead of us four games, you know, you're not catching them. So, you know, that was a big win for us. But that's really the only time that we've talked about it. We've tried to take things day by day and try to get a little bit better every day. So we're playing our best basketball here in another month. You know, obviously we're in a situation now where, you know, we've got some difficult games left, as does Villanova and Seton Hall. So I think it's going to be a fun ride to the end of the conference season.
You know, one thing that, you know, you see all the time in coaches is that, you know, sometimes you have great teams and they have unfortunate things happen at the most inopportune times. And your team in 13-14 with your son Doug, the National Player of the Year, and Ethan Rogge was an unbelievable offensive team. And that's, I think, the team that everybody thinks of when they think about your time in the Big East as your best team. But I thought the team in 27-10, and you touched on this earlier, with Justin Patton, with Mo Watson, had the requisites to go to a Final Four. And obviously, Mo Watson suffered a devastating knee injury in the middle of that season. Bob Huggins went through this when he lost Kenyon Martin, you know, when that Cincinnati team that could have won it all. As a coach, do you feel cheated when something like that happens and you're not at a blue blood?
Well, I mean, if you do it long enough, John, you know, things are going to happen. And I've been coaching over 30 years, and you know, I've had years where, all the way back to my Division II days, where, you know, nothing goes wrong and you end up having a great season and nobody gets hurt. Nobody really misses any games of any significance. And then you have, you know, situations like that. And we had, you know, that team was ranked 7th at the time, I believe, in the country. And you know, Maurice's injury was certainly devastating to us and changed the way that unit functioned. And then the following year, we lost Martin Krampel, and I think we were ranked 20th in the country when that happened, and when we lost him to a knee injury. So it happens in basketball, and you know, we had certainly a lot of built-in excuses this year with what we lost at the start of the season, because, you know, Davion Mintz and Jacob Epperson are certainly in our top six guys, both of them, and would have played significant minutes for this team. So to have guys step up in the face of adversity is what this is all about. And this group this year has done a terrific job of that. And I'm hopeful that we can stay healthy and have an opportunity to finish it off.
Well, that's one key to obviously being in a great position to go on a run. What else do you think your team needs to improve on over the next 3 weeks to a month to be at your best when the NCAA tournament starts?
Well, I just think, John, we're not very big, you know, so, you know, our ability to rebound the basketball and, you know, try to at least hang even on the glass, you know, we have to be so perfect from a fundamental standpoint, just because of the makeup of our roster at this point in time. So those are things we focus on every day. And then our, you know, following a defensive plan, to try to slow some of these good offensive teams down that we play night in and night out in this league is going to be critical. And, you know, let's be honest, if we're going to be good in the end, you know, we've got to go on a stretch of a couple of weeks where we really shoot the basketball well. We don't get a lot at the rim, so we, you know, we've got to be able to make jump shots, and for the most part, this team's been able to do that.
Final thing, I'm going to ask you to put on your analyst hat for a second, because you were one of the first teams that got a glimpse of San Diego State when you played them in Las Vegas in November. I know they've lost, you know, one of their key big men, Nathan Mensa, since that game, but they have just went on a tear since then. What did you see in the Aztecs that night and obviously since that makes you think they can be a team that can be one of the last standing?
Yeah, you know, I was a little bit baffled that people probably weren't giving them the credit that they deserved. You know, at least the weekend that we were in Las Vegas with them, you know, they just they don't have a lot of weakness. You know, defensively, they're very, very sound. basketball team. They're connected on the offensive end. Obviously, Malachi Flynn is terrific with the ball in his hands, but he also makes really good decisions and creates some things for his teammates as well. And they've got, you know, they've got plenty of guys that can shoot it. They have some physicality at the rim. You know, I think it's a team that's going to be reckoned with in the NCAA tournament because, you know, they're very well coached. Dutch has done a terrific job with them. They believe in what they're doing. And, you know, to be able to go undefeated at this point is an incredible accomplishment. And, you know, I think they're built for a very good NCAA tournament run.
Well, Mac, appreciate a couple of minutes. Safe travels to Milwaukee. Best of luck Tuesday against Marquette, and look forward to staying connected along the way.
All right, thanks, John.
We'd like to thank Creighton head coach Greg McDermott for joining us on the College Hoops Today podcast. Before we get to the social media portion of our program, do you ever feel like you're always on, that you just need a moment to turn off for a little bit? If the pace of things is wearing you down, take my advice and choose the one beer that's made to chill. That's Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Listen, I spend a lot of time on the road in my job, especially during college basketball season. From November through March, my life is always go, go, go. That's why Coors Light is the one beer I choose when I need a moment of chill. It's literally made to chill. Heck, even the Coors Light bottles will tell you how cold it is. The mountains turn blue. If the pace of things is wearing you down, take a moment, pause, refresh yourself. Take it from me. There is no better reset button than a night of college hoops, a pizza, or two if you're me, and cracking open a can of the perfect refreshing beer for chilling. That's Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 78, Coors Light is refreshing, crisp, and only 102 calories. Remember, it's okay to sit back and turn life off for a little bit. So when you want to reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. That's Coors Light. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company. Golden, Colorado. And we want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Flyer75, and it's, John, any chance Dayton can snag a number one seed? For Dayton to get a one seed, the Flyers have to win the Atlantic 10 regular season title, not lose any more games, win the Atlantic 10 conference tournament, and then have somebody above them drop off. I don't see it being Baylor and Kansas. San Diego State is the most likely team to drop off, because if the Aztecs lose a game, it will be a loss against a team that is right now not projected for the NCAA tournament. Our next question comes from Ben Stroop, and it's, John, how do you like Penn State's chances to win the Big Ten? I'm a believer in Maryland. I've said repeatedly all season long that Maryland has the best chance out of any team in the Big Ten to go to a Final Four. But Penn State, if it can beat Illinois on Tuesday night in State College, will continue one of the great stories in college basketball. It's time now to start talking about Pat Chambers as a legitimate National Coach of the Year candidate. He has done an unbelievable job this year in State College, and another example of what happens when you have player continuity and support from the administration. The final question we're going to take today here in our social media portion, just from Tanner Round, and it's, John, what's the bigger deal, the ACC only getting three or four teams in the NCAA tournament, or the Big Ten possibly getting 11? It's a great question. I'm going with the ACC only getting three or four. Now, why do I say that? Because you look at this league, especially since the league took Pitt, took Syracuse, took Notre Dame, took Louisville, it has become what the old Big East was. And to only get three or four teams, it is an absolute shocker for me to see the ACC getting that lower percentage of teams into the NCAA tournament. Before we get to five good nuggets, I want to tell you about Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you. But please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, Wesson's value. Ohio State is 16-3 over the past three seasons in games where Caleb Wesson tallies 10 rebounds or more. That includes a 9-3 mark this season. Ohio State winners of five of their last six. Nugget number two, the champs are still here. Virginia is clearly the ACC's best hope to get a fourth team in the NCAA tournament. Two big opportunities remain for the Cavaliers, both at home against Duke and Louisville. Nugget number three, Provo Power. Talking about BYU, the Cougars continue to look like a sleeper for the NCAA tournament. Might have the most underrated 1-2 punch in college basketball in TJ Hawes and Yoli Childs. Nugget number four, War is Wart. An awful week last week for Louisville's Jordan War. Had a combined 7 points in two games against Georgia Tech and Clemson. Louisville needs their star back on track quick. And nugget number five, Hope and Amherst. It's been a frustrating season for Matt McCall and UMass, but the Minutemen do have a building block in freshman Trey Mitchell over his last three games, averaging about 24 points and 7 rebounds. Now let's get to some games to watch.
Games to watch.
Three good ones on Tuesday. Illinois at Penn State, Creighton at Marquette. Kentucky will go to Baton Rouge to take on LSU. Wednesday, a big one in the Big East as Seton Hall hosts Butler. And then Thursday, a good one in the Pac-12 as Arizona State will host Oregon. We'd like to thank Creighton head coach Greg McDermott for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, less than 1 month away from Selection Sunday. This is the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.